Okay, everybody, we are here again for another Tisha B'Av, unfortunately. And
Amen. Over doors. Yeah. had her telephone number.
No.
Did I know Marilyn Hollis?
What?
Marilyn Hollis.
Yeah. I just want to be sure that it's the right. Who do you think of the show would know?
Here?
This is the cell number I have. But somebody on the phone was saying it's wrong.
Oh.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Someone here. But maybe somebody else picked up their phone and they don't know who what right there and they say it's wrong. Because a lot of people have out cell phones that are not in Cincinnati area companies. I don't like dealing with Google Docs, so on and so forth.
There's no Google Docs here, so this is fine.
What?
There's no Google Docs. This is fine. You can put me down. You can put me down.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
that God said, Kol Advarim Ha'elu Lemor, Kol Advarim Ha'elu. Why couldn't he just said, Hadvarim Ha'elu? He said these things. No, he said all of these things. Why do you have to say all of these things, the Soloveitchik asked? And he said it should be understood, not that he said every word, per se, of course he said every word, but that all of these things were said as one. They're all one unit. They're all one unit. You cannot just say, you know, I keep one side, let's say the Ben Adam Lamakom, and I don't keep the other side. At least I get credit for that. No, it's one unit. If you're not keeping something in the tablets, the whole thing falls. There's a medrash like this that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchot, and he came down and he saw the people worshiping the golden calf. So he's about to throw them down, and the Zekanim, it says, tried to grab the Luchos that were the second set of Luchos. You know, I don't mean the second set. The second side of the tablets, which had between man and man, the Zekanim tried to grab them and hold on to them and not let him break those. And I once heard, I forgot who, but someone explained that they said the vision of that was that the Zekanim thought, okay, we are worshiping the golden calf, so we don't get the first set of Luchos. Okay, it says you should not commit idolatry. Okay, we understand, break those. We still want the other ones. Nothing doing. It's all one unit, like Rosh Soloveitchik said. You're going to break this side, you also break the other side. It's all one unit. So to hear you saying, Avas Hashem, Avas Adam, it's all one unit. You cannot keep one without the other. Okay, we're going to go now to source number 12. We have completed now our consideration of what Sinas Kinam is. Now that we know that, we're going really to the main idea of the Shir, which is fake news. If you missed the introduction, okay. Fake news, again here. We were told in source number 1, the temple is destroyed for very specific reasons. The three big sins, the first temple, Sinas Kinam. The second temple, we saw what the definitions were of Sinat Chinam. Now, we're going to be told something else. Source number 12. The Gemara Nedarim says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mai dichtiv mi ha'isha chacham ba'yevinet zot, Devar ze nisha l'chachamim l'nevi'im, v'le perishuha, ad shepirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo. It says, we know, we read it, today on Tisha B'Av, it says, "Vayomer Hashem al Zva Metorati." Why was the Beit Hamikdash destroyed? Right? It says, because you left my Torah, you abandoned my Torah. Hainu lo shamu b'koli, hainu lo halchu ba. Well, doesn't that mean they didn't keep the Torah? They didn't observe it properly? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The last line, no. She'ein mevarchin b'Torah tchila. Did you ever hear this? No. The reason for this terrible destruction, the loss of the land, as it says specifically, was because, and it says, they asked the Chachamim and the prophets, and they couldn't explain why we lost the land. Isn't that interesting? And the Mefarshim say they couldn't explain why, because it says they kept the Torah, and they studied Torah, and they did mitzvot, and gemilu chasadim, so they couldn't figure out why did they lose the land. So this verse says, because they didn't make a bracha on the Torah before they learned Torah. Wow, that's pretty severe, right? Even for those who hold Sinas Chinam for that, the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, but this is very severe. They didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. Like, you know, you didn't make a bracha before you ate your bread or your fruit. They didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. And you know what? Because of that, the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Now, what does that mean? They didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. What does that mean? Anyone want to suggest what that means? Just simply, yes?
Torah study to them was an academic.
Correct. That's what I would say. It was an academic exercise. We used to have a person who came here, maybe he still comes. He was at CZE the other day, who's a priest. I don't know if he still comes here, but now he's at CZE.
He's gotten
firmer. Huh?
He's moved to the right.
He's moved to the right. Like everything moves to the right. I got it. Good one. So this priest comes, and he's sitting in Rav Weinrod's Gemara Shir, anyway, in his Halacha Shir. So he's sitting there, Master of Rhyme Rob Shilas, and we're having it out, and he's listening really intently. And I'm thinking, what is he here for this year? We're quoting things of halachas of Tisha B'Av. What is he here for? He finds it fascinating. He finds it very interesting. You know what? This Torah stuff is very interesting. It's an intellectual exercise. Very fascinating. And so it's possible that you could learn Torah, keep mitzvahs, it's possible. And you say, you know, this is a great activity here. There are, by the way, for example, there are Jews who are not Shomer Mitzvot, who are known as experts, let's say, in this Gemara, or in this field, right, in this Halacha. They don't keep mitzvahs. They don't, but you know what? What's have to do with it? This is a very fascinating area of study, just like some are experts in philosophy and some in literature, some are experts in Bible or whatever. They may not believe in the Bible. They may not say that I don't believe in the mitzvot, but it's a fascinating book if there ever was one. So, again, maybe that's a reason why they didn't get bracha before they learned Torah.
Oh, but you said these exact people were actually, they did keep mitzvot. So, could it be a possible, it could be double thinking in a sort of way to remember that term, where basically they think two things are contradicted at the same time, but they accept both of them to be true. Where they will accept everything that they're learning to be true, they will accept that they need to practice this, but at the same time they will switch off in their mind and say, well, but then when this situation arises, then I won't.
Okay. All right, maybe. Okay. Yes?
Why can't we just say that Allah's good, Allah's Torah just means they have not kept the three cardinal things that I have said about?
Okay, very good question. Very good, and this is really our whole question against source number one. I thought we knew the reasons why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. I thought it said clearly why the three sins and then Sinat Chinam. But here it says, no, because they didn't say a bracha. Right, exactly. I'm with you. That's what we're looking at. I'm with you. Now, by the way, just to show, Rav Aaron Cutler in source number 13, this is in his... Mishnat Rav Aaron, Chelek Gimel Nundalid, he says there, it's four lines down in the middle, Shelo Hirgishu Karaui Malat HaTorah V'chiyuv HaHoda'a Aleha HaRa'uya Lihiyot Yoter MeHoda'a Al Kol HaTovot. They did not have, a little different than what we said before about it being academic, and that's why they didn't make a bracha. That they didn't realize it was divine in nature. But also we make a bracha many times to thank God for something, right? To thank God. Well, they thought, the Torah, you don't have to thank God for the Torah. You learn it, you study it, you don't have to thank God for the Torah. Why did they have that view? We'll see in a second. But he held of all things, the Torah is our whole life. What do you mean? That you have to thank more than anything. If you have to thank God for a banana, you don't have to thank God for the Torah. You have to thank God for the smallest thing you do, that you can move in the morning. So you don't have to thank God for the Torah, which is the source of our lives. So, yet they thought, yeah, there's something missing in the Torah. What's missing? Look at source number 14, which the Rav Aaron Cutler brings as well. This is the Beis Halevi, Rav Soloveitchik's great-grandfather. He says in Parshat Mishpatim, I knew this by heart, this Beis Halevi, for years and years and years, and yet I never saw this aspect of it until this year. It's amazing. So he says, Ketav Shem HaRan, the Ran wrote on this idea of Naseh V'Nishma he's talking about in Parshat Mishpatim, Shelo aya Torah chashuv beinehem, shetehei reuye levarech aleha. We saw the Gemara said, right, that they didn't make a bracha upon Torah, that they thought you should make a bracha. We just saw that. Shelo ayu oskim ba lishma. What did it mean? They did not engage in the study of Torah for its own sake. Lefia mivar la'el. Yesh lamar, in accordance with what he said above when he was discussing Naseh V'Nishma, he said that he has a great chiddush in what Naseh V'Nishma means. We all say it means we will do and then we'll study later, right? Then we'll ask questions later. He said that's impossible. You cannot do without first studying in Judaism. You have to study to be able to do. So what does it possibly mean, Naseh V'Nishma? It can't mean we will do it and then ask questions later. You have to ask questions to be able to do it. So he says what it means is, his chidush is, Naseh V'Nishma means we will study to do, and then we will study just for the sake of studying. That's what Naseh V'Nishma means. So he said that what they held was that that's not what it meant. He says, you study for the sake of doing, and once you've studied for the sake of doing, you're done. You don't have to study it anymore. That's why he says the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Because what it means here is they didn't make a bracha on it, because that's not the ikar. The main thing is not the study. The main thing is the doing. In other words, the Torah is just a manual to running your car. It's just a guide. You look at the guide. How do we do this? Now I know how to do it. I don't need to look that up again in the manual now that I know how to turn on the lights or not the windshield wiper. I'm done. You don't have to study it anymore. So to the Torah. We learned how to take lulav and etrog. We don't have to learn that anymore. Finished. There's no idea of studying Torah just for the sake of studying Torah. You don't make a bracha on that. All the brachas come on all the things that you do. That's the accomplishment. Just studying per se, that's not worthy of a bracha. That is suggested by the Beis HaLevi as to why the idea was. He says in the fact that the action is the Gemar Mitzvah. He says the Gemar Mitzvah is not the study of the Torah. Just like he says, when you wear a tefillin, when you wear a talis, that's the mitzvah, right? Do you say a bracha on making the tefillin? No. Do you make a basic bracha on the hechsher mitzvah? On what goes into making the mitzvah item? No, that's not the mitzvah. That's just preparatory toward the mitzvah. So studying Torah is just preparatory toward the mitzvah. It's not its own mitzvah. That's why you don't make a bracha over it. You don't say Sherek Shanzat Avitzivanu, La Sokhbidi Rei Torah, something as the like, because that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is doing. So that's why they didn't make a bracha on the Torah. That's his explanation. And that would explain why they study Torah, they learn Torah, because you have to do mitzvahs. Of course we study Torah, but you do not make a bracha on it because it's lacking in its essential nature of being valuable in and of itself. All right. We're going to go to source number 16. So we saw, in addition to source number 1, now another reason why it says that they lost the land because they didn't make a bracha on the Torah. Source number 16, Bab Metzia, Daf Lamun Amud Bet. So there it says, I have it at the end of the line, it says, why was it that Yerushalayim was destroyed? It says, Ela Shadanu Badin Torah. They judged in accordance to the words of the Torah. And then it says right under that, Shemidu Dineyam al Din Torah, Velo Avdu Lifnehem Lifnim Mishurat Hadin. But they did not carry out the laws of the Torah beyond the letter of the law. And so this is really amazing. They kept the Torah 100%. 100%. But they didn't go beyond the letter of the law. Oh, because of that, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Yerushalayim was destroyed. They didn't go beyond the letter of the law. Now, some explain this as follows. That God saw the Jewish people were doing terrible sins. He might have gone beyond the letter of the law and said, okay, I'll give them another chance. Okay, you know what? But they've done some good things. But you know what? You didn't go beyond the letter of the law. When you judged people, you said you didn't take into consideration certain circumstances that maybe this guy was just learning, he didn't know enough yet, he didn't really do it out of desire, he did it, you know, or he did it out of desire, he didn't do it because he really thought it was wrong, he did it because his Yetzer Hara led him to do it. You didn't give the person that option. You said, no, see, very strict here. The Torah says you can't violate, he violated, done. No. You did not go on beyond the letter of the law, which you should have done, because, by the way, the idea of going beyond the letter of the law is itself in the Torah. Degolifni Meshurat Adin, Vasita Tov V'Hayashar, it says, you shall do what is good and straight and proper, even though the strict law says this, you should take everything into account. Because you didn't do it, I'm not going to do it for you. So there are those who say that that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed according to this view. But again, we see that there's another reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed. It is not because of the reasons we saw in source number 1 that we are all told are the reasons for the destruction. All right, source number 17. Here it says, again, another reason for the Chorban. Go down 3 lines toward the end of the line. Amar Rabbi Levi, Lo galu Yisrael ad shekafru bichido shel olam. He says, no, you know what? The Jewish people were not expelled from their land until they denied the one of the world. They denied God. Ubamila and the circumcision. Shenitna lekaf dorot, which was given after 20 generations. Uba aseret adibrot, and they denied the 10 commandments. Uba hei sifrei Torah, and they denied the 5 books of the Torah. So until they did all these things, the temple, they were not exiled. Now, at least for once, this makes sense. If you're telling me that they didn't believe in God, they didn't keep circumcision, which is the covenant with God, they didn't keep the 10 commandments, which is representative of all the Torah, they didn't believe in any, they didn't keep the whole Torah, so that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, at least I understand that now. Okay, they didn't keep anything. All right? But, nonetheless, it's another reason we didn't see before. And by the way, how do we know this? It says at the end, Minyan Echa. The word Echa, which is of course where we recount the destruction of Yerushalayim, so that's the letters here we're talking about. The Aleph means the one of God, the Yud means the 10 commandments, the Kaf means the 20 generations until the bris was given, the He means the Hei Chum Shei Torah. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It says in Medrash Echa, Echa Rabati. Okay? Now, if you're not convinced yet about our problem, which is Source number one said clearly what we all know, the structure of the temple was, came about. And now we're seeing all these other reasons. Then we go to Masechet Shabbat, Kuf Yud Tet. Now this is just off the charts in terms of what happens here. Amar Abaye, Lo Charva Yushalayim Ela Bishvil Shechilulu Ba Et HaShabbat. Abaye says, let me tell you why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Let me give you my reason. Because they violated Shabbos. Okay. Second line down in the middle. I have this, I think I'll mark for you, right? Amar Rabbi Abahu, Lo Charva Yushalayim Ela Bishvil Shebitlu Kriyat Shema Shacharit V'Aravit. It's not true. Or maybe he's not even disagreeing. By the way, I saw those who say that wherever it says Amar Abaye or Amar of Abahu, that means in the Gemara that they're not disagreeing, they're just adding. If it would say Abaye Omer or Rabbi Abahu Omer, that means they're disagreeing. Okay? So in any event, according to that, it would seem they're not disagreeing. But he says, you know why it was destroyed? I'm going to add something else, pile on something else. They didn't say Shema morning and evening. Okay, fine. Let's go on to the fourth line down toward the end. Amarav Hamnuna, Lo Chavayu Shalayim, Ela Bishvil, Shebit Luba Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban. You know why the temple was destroyed? They stopped teaching kids Torah. They said, you know, with these little kids, nursery school, who needs it? You don't need to teach them. They'll come to it on their own when they get older. You don't have to start with them so young. Let's cancel the school, we'll save some money, whatever it is. So that was their reason. That's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Under that, Amar Ula, Lo Chavayu Yerushalayim, Ela Bidnei Shelo Hayalahem, Boshet Panim Zemizeh. The reason was they didn't have any shame in front of each other. They would do all sorts of things which were shameful. They weren't embarrassed. Sometimes you do things by yourself where you would never do in front of someone else. They weren't embarrassed. You know what? And just like the Sforno says in Shemot, it talks about the Jews, it says, the Yishritsu, right? They multiplied so much, like Shratzim. I think it's a Sforno who says there that they had no shame, just like insects have no shame. They do what they want. So too, human beings at that time, the Jews had no shame anymore. They were just doing whatever they want. That's how much they fell into Tumah in Mitzrayim. So that's what Ula says the reason was for the destruction. Then at the end of that line, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Chavayu Yerushalayim Ela Bishvil Shehushvu Katan V'Gadol. You know, Yerushalayim was destroyed because they said everyone's the same. Isn't the rabbi greater in his knowledge of Torah than others? Don't we have to ask him Shailas? Everyone's the same. Almost like Korach. Everyone's the same. Everyone's Kadosh. Everyone's fine, which is true. But it doesn't mean there aren't distinctions. You have to have a Shaila. The Torah itself says, if you have a Shaila, you're supposed to go to the Sanhedrin. You're supposed to go to the Ador. You're supposed to go to the Rav. Asei lecha Rav, as Pirkei Avos says. So they thought everyone's just the same. There's no difference. No distinctions. So that's why the temple was destroyed. We could go into each one of these, why that would be enough, but we're not going to. We have enough to do. Okay, each one of these could be studied independently as a separate drusha, a separate shir. Maybe we'll do that in another year. Then the next source says after that, right when we ended, Amar Rebbe Shimon Bar Abar Mibchanina Lorva Yushalayim Ela Bishvil Shelo Hochichu Zadzeh. Another view says they did not rebuke one another. You see someone do something wrong, instead of trying to make him better and helping him and doing it in the right way, you say, I did an Aveira. He's going to get it for that, you know? Well, maybe you should tell him the right way to do it. No, let him, you know, suffer. So you don't tell him. We know that the famous story in Gittin of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, some say has to do with the fact that they didn't rebuke each other. So that's the reason for the Chorban Beit HaMikdash. Going on, a few lines down to the left, Amar Yehuda, Lo Chava Yushalayim, Ela Bishvil Shibizu Ba Tamid Chachamim. They disgraced Torah scholars. That's why the temple was destroyed, because of that reason. And now go down four lines from the bottom. Vama Rava Lo Charvayu Shalayim Ela Bishvil Shipasku Mimena Anshe Amuna. And it says, no, the temple was destroyed, he says, because men of faith, the faith was destroyed. There was no longer people who truly believed in the Torah and the Ribono Shalom. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So my friends, we have, I don't know what it is, 7 or 8 or 9 reasons here that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. No one ever goes around quoting those. No one says, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Someone asked you, right? The basic test, why was it destroyed? Let's say you were trying to get to yeshiva. And they tried it, and they asked you this shaila. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And you said, because of 3 big sins? No. Maybe. What's one reason? Sinas Chinam? That's another reason. Oh, well, they didn't make a blessing on Torah. Yeah. Oh, they didn't. What else do we have here next? They did not. They didn't keep the Torah, Chumash, that, etc. They didn't go beyond the letter of the law. And then all these, they didn't rebuke each other. They didn't help me out. They didn't. They Talmud Chacham. They made everyone the same. They have all these reasons. They have all these reasons. Now I support Trump's notion of fake news. The first source said, and we all say, this is the reason of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And now we see it's not true. There are many, many reasons for the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Why do we only focus on those? It's not true. It's fake. We showed it to you. So now let's try to come up to an answer, for an answer. Why it's not fake news, Mr. Trump. And why there is real news in the world. Okay, why is this not fake news? First, does anyone want to suggest an answer? Without looking, obviously, without looking. Anyone just have their own answers to why, how could this be understood? Yes.
If you look back at the generation of the flood didn't occur because of the three cardinal sins. It occurred because they were stealing, kind of within the letter of the law. So I would say, you could say with the Second Temple, they were following within the letter of law, but they had the wrong intent. And they were using the law in the wrong way. And the same reason the flood came was the same reason.
Okay, good. So you're expanding upon maybe what we saw earlier, that the idea that the Torah is supposed to transform you, make you a better person, and learning everything else, but the Torah can be abused, right? And they were abusing it because they had hatred in their hearts, even though they were keeping it, they were learning, right? So that's a good point. Okay. Anything more that kind of can answer this? Yes?
One reason that we always say is something that's built into human nature, something that never really goes away, and the fact that we're trying to overcome that is trying to overcome our nature. All the other stuff is stuff like, they did this then, and it comes and goes. So there have been points where everybody pulled their kids out of school, but there are other points where people put their kids back in school. You know, it waxes and wanes. The baseless hatred, that's something that's for all time. Every time in human history, people will point towards that and say, yes, that's something that's for
good. And the three big sins also, maybe? The lust for sexuality, for whatever, murder seems to be always around. And
right, but those are things that people always point.
Okay.
And they always say, this is happening, so everybody's aware of it.
Okay, good. I'm looking for something a little more simple. His answer was more that the big three sins and the sinat chinam are kind of the ongoing eternal reasons, if you will, that you know that kind of challenge us always as human beings. Where the other things are kind of more specific. They didn't do this, they didn't do that. You know, those also, okay. But the other ones, the big ones, are the ones that are constantly, you know, challenging us.
You say that once people stop keeping those three big things, that is kind of like breaking down the fence. So then, then it would lead to doing
okay
other things. But that was, you know, really the start.
Okay, that was the start of the fall. Okay, just let me tell you what some others say. There are those who say that, and then we'll look at inside it some more focused reasons. There's some who say that, yeah, those were the major reasons. These others were contributing reasons. You know, you could say this guy's dying. What's he dying of? He's dying of cancer. You should know he also has bad kidneys. He also has, his heart is also like has a problem with it. He also has high blood pressure. He also has this. He has tons of things that are wrong with him. Okay? But if you're asking me what is it that's really bringing him down, that cancer is what's going to get him. That's what's doing it. Okay? So, and maybe this is somewhat what you meant as well, that maybe we could handle the other things, the contributing things. Okay, they didn't say a bracha, so start saying a bracha. Okay, so you couldn't handle this. Okay, so start sending your kids to school again. Maybe that's what you meant to some degree. But those first two things, I mean, those are the killers. Those are the ikar things that you have to focus on, otherwise the mikdash will be destroyed. So there, all these things were contributing factors. It wasn't like, you know what? They weren't doing those things, and everything else was just fine and dandy. No, that's not true. Those other things they weren't doing, and you know what? If you fix those, you still got a lot of other problems to deal with. All right? Even if you got rid of this, there are a bunch of other things you had to deal with. Yes?
Uh-huh. Level, uh-huh. He got punished for it, maybe this generation is on higher level and they just got punished for less
time. So the suggestion is being made that, as it said, they were learning Torah, they were osek b'Torah, they were doing mitzvahs, they were medaktek in mitzvahs, right? They're doing milus chasadim. So what's wrong? So you're saying they're being held to a very high standard. Since already you're doing all that, then you shouldn't have your heart having such hatred. Maybe it's like we saw on the other side, that there was a view that said that that apparently if you're doing all that, you're doing it something wrong with the way you're doing things, because otherwise it would transform you, make you a better person. So it's not doing that. Okay, it's something, I don't know. That's a whole generation versus one person. So that'd be a big chiddush to say that. I usually think they were worse than we are. Of course, maybe I'm wrong. Could be totally wrong. You know, at least they were zocha to have a Beis HaMikdash, and that was destroyed in their time. We don't even have a Beis HaMikdash to talk about. We're not even near having a Beis HaMikdash. So, okay. Good. Now, let me just point out some other sources that we see here as we conclude. All right? First of all, in source number 19, Amar Rabbi Abahu. This is from the Iyun Yaakov. He says that, if you look in the middle, he says, "De kol echad maite mikra." Even though we saw the sources up above in source number 18, they bring verses to what they say. Elahava ha grama. So his first answer is that this and this, he's only talking about maybe about this Gemara here, that these things all contributed, like we kind of said before. But then he goes on to say, "Baha nira." It seems like one sin caused another. Maybe that's what Rabbi Lavender was saying. The kol echad omer tochechato lefi tzorech doro shayu prutzing sat botan aveira. He says now that maybe that each of them in Masechet Shabbat was trying to emphasize the thing that their community, their generation, needed to work on. Now, why would we be emphasizing that? What does that mean? I suggest it means this. The Gemara says in another place, whoever does not rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in their time, it's like they destroyed it. Which is a great indictment against all of us. Whoever does not have the Beis HaMikdash built in his time, it's like they destroyed it themselves. So if that's the case, maybe he was trying to say, Abaye and others, you know what, our community really has a problem with Chilul Shabbos. So that's why the Mikdash was destroyed. You want to rebuild it? We got to work on Chilul Shabbos. Where in another community, the problem was they didn't show respect for Talmid HaChachamim. And he said, you know what? If we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we have to put emphasis on that. So he's suggesting that they were all kind of taking that into consideration. We want the Beis HaMikdash built, and they were all emphasizing the sins that were within their particular realms being violated. And of course, that still doesn't answer about the sources we saw in number one, which said specifically what the sins were, right? We still have a problem with that. So we're now going to look at source number 20, which answers all our problems. This is from Elahemo Adai, Rav Schlesinger, who's the Rav of Gilo. And he makes a very good diuk in the text, which answers all our problems. Look what he says. We just kind of, either we were brainwashed by me, but I was also brainwashed myself by what I read. He says, Ela Shirau l'sim leiv, Rawi l'sim leiv, d'lashon chazal, b'chol achad mikorot ha'alalu. You know what? Be careful and look exactly what are said by the rabbis and all these things. Einenu shaveh. It's not the same. Listen. Halashon gemara yuma, the first source that we saw. Why was the mikdash destroyed? What does it say? Mikdash rishon b'pnei ma nechrav, right? Mikdash sheni b'pnei ma charav. All right? It says there, why was the Mikdash destroyed? And it gives its reasons. The first one, the three major sins. The second one, Sinat Chinam. However, if you go down now, go down about five lines in the middle, it says, HaGemara b'Masechet Shabbat, that we saw up above, right? Shevanu, with all those reasons, Midaberet Achorban Yerushalayim. If you look there, it says, Lo Charva Yerushalayim Ela Mipnei Zeh. It says all these reasons are why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Sure, you could still say that there are many reasons given to Yerushalayim, but it wasn't the Mikdash who was being talked about. It was Yerushalayim. And then he goes on to say, if you go two lines down more, it says, Abala Gemara Masechet Nidarim, it says, Timaha Ama Avda Haaretz. The next question was, why was the land destroyed? Not why the Mikdash and not why Yerushalayim, but why was the land destroyed? And then, in fact, we saw another source up above that said in source number 17, Lo Galu Yisrael, El Ad Shekafru B'Yichidosh Olam. That why were the Jews exiled? In other words, it could have been just the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but you still got to stay in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. It could be Yerushalayim also was destroyed, but you still got to live in Eretz Yisrael. It could have been that Eretz Yisrael was also lost, but you didn't have to go into exile. You still live there, but God forbid, it was given over to other nations. In our time, we see all the time things like that could happen. We could lose the Makom HaMikdash. We could lose Yerushalayim today. We could lose Eretz Yisrael. You never know. I mean, the way this world goes, right? But it could be you wouldn't be exiled. You can still live there, okay? But here, we see a definite kind of progression that it could have been. You could have saved Yerushalayim. You still could have saved Eretz Yisrael. You still could have saved the land. You could have still saved from being exiled. The ultimate sin of going into Galus. But no, each one of these is delineating the particular sins for each level of the loss from the Beis HaMikdash all the way to the exiles where we found ourselves for thousands of years. So I just think that's a beautiful explanation in terms of his attempt to deal with what we thought was fake news, which we can say, no, it is the real news, source number one. But they were said all these things in different contexts, and the source proves it. What I like best about it as well, if I can just add, is that the Vilna Gaon always used to say that just like you have a pshat and a drush and a sod and a remez, you have those things in the written Torah, different levels of understanding. He said you also have it in the oral Torah. So too in the Gemara. If you look carefully, it could be there different levels. And that's in a sense what he's reminiscent of here. Yes.
Well, I have to say that historically, I cannot speak to the secret after the first temple, but to think about it, if my history is correct, not minimizing the terrible murders and enslavements and so on that existed in the aftermath of the destruction of the second temple, but Yerushalayim still remained relatively intact until, was it something like 65 years later, right, with the Bar Kokhba revolt. That's when they plowed Yerushalayim under and forbade any Jew from settling in the area. And yet there were substantial numbers of Jews who continued to live not in July, maybe not even Yehuda, but in other parts of Israel which were not affected by that decree. And there may have been a later times, like the First Crusader, one of those where they decimated the community completely. So historically, these are not necessarily all referring to the same time.
Right, very good. Okay, yes, Shikoch. And especially these are Amoraim saying this,
right,
who are far later, and they're looking back. Okay, very good. Let's the final two sources, which are very significant. Source number 21. This was told to me by Rabbi Indich directly, Zichron Livracha. Rabbi Elamir Bloch, who is his Rebbe at the Tel Yeshiva, once gave him an answer for things like this. I can't remember if he said it specifically regarding this. I don't think he did, but he said it for many other things. Rav Elmer Bloch said that when it comes to huge events in Jewish history, even in biblical history, when you see certain events, and you see Chazal and Mefarshim are all over the place with so many different explanations. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu's sin. You could add up, 20 different sins with the Mefarshim. Say he hit the wrong rock. He should have talked to the rock instead of hitting the rock. He got angry. He should have done it without asking. There are all these different things that he did, right, which led to his aveira. Or why not have an avihu were killed, right? What did they do? There are 100 sins. They got drunk. They said one of these chacham are going to die. There are a whole list of sins. Why not just give us one sin? So if Eli Meir Bloch said that when something is so huge and powerful and destructive, Kal v'chomer, when it comes to Korban Beis HaMikdash, so then, basically, what Chazal are telling you, look, we have some indications of it, but even we do not have the ability to tell you all of it. Even we can't say, this is the Masorah we have, the big three, and Sinat Chinam, but we also have hints of other things as well. And we cannot be absolutely positive about absolutely what was its cause. Imagine someone asked you, why was the Holocaust caused? Why was the Holocaust? What was the cause of the Holocaust? If someone came up and said, I got the one big reason, I'm going to tell you the reason why the Holocaust, I could tell you it all right here. You'd probably say, boy, you know, you're going to explain the Holocaust in one sentence? You got a lot of explaining to do. I mean, that is very difficult to explain. Okay? For example, I just saw recently, again, I remembered, you might ask someone, why did Hitler hate the Jews so much? Why was it so terrible? So someone will say they were a scapegoat. They owned the banks. Not so much different today. They ran the country. You know, why should they be running it? We could be running it, you know? Let's destroy those Jews. The Aryan race were better and so on, okay? But you know what? I once gave a drush, you may recall, about a book that came out where someone was actually heard Hitler discussing with some of his henchmen about why we had to destroy the Jews. I don't know if you remember this. You know why he said it was? He said the Ten Commandments. He said those dastardly commandments. He says, you shall do, you shall not do. Who is that God of Asia, he says, telling us what to do? Man should not be told what to do. Man can do whatever he wants. That's what nature is. The survival of the fittest. One generation takes over the next. Honor your parents. Honor your father and mother. Nothing doing. Every child, every youth should rebel against his father and mother. That's the way of the world. He says our goal is to destroy those Ten Commandments, which say there has to be a rule of law and there has to be discipline. That's what I'm telling you. That's what this guy said, and he wrote down what Hitler said. So we all think, what, he was against the Torah? He was fighting the Torah? That's why he really hated the Jews? This source says, yes, yeah, because of the Torah. Again, I don't say it was that alone either. We had to do it also in Hitler when he was young and lots of other things. So to try to give one explanation, Reblach is saying, is so overwhelming. Who can do that? We have these sources, and again, they're from Chazal. We don't discount them. We have our main sources, but we have other sources too. Again, this is from Reblach. And finally, we're going to close with this, one of the most beautiful sources that we could have, we could leave Tisha B'Av from. You know, if you look sometimes at Mefarshim, they will discuss the idea of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash being our own Chorban, our own personal Chorban. What does that mean? Do you remember it says in Parshat Truma, V'yasuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'tocham, and you shall make for me a Mikdash, and I shall dwell in your midst. And as you may recall, it's a big revolutionary idea in terms of religion. Because any other religion would have said, you shall build for me a mikdash, and I shall dwell in it. I will dwell in that house you're building for me. And that'll be my house, and you'll feed me the sacrifices, and the libations will be my drink. And if you destroy the mikdash, you destroy the God, because that's his house, and he wouldn't let his house get destroyed. But we didn't believe that, because the Torah itself said, and I shall dwell in your midst, amongst you. Look at Rav Chaim Voloshin, he says in Nefesh HaChayim, Shar Aleph Perek Dalet. He says, Vadai. He doesn't even make it a question. He says, absolutely, for sure, and without doubt. Ikar inyan hakodesh v'amikdash, the main idea of holiness and the temple, might be hekdesh, something holy, v'shriat shkinato yitbarach, and the dwelling of God's presence in our midst, yitbarach, hu ha'adam. The main idea of the Beit HaMikdash, my friends, is the human being. What does that mean? Al tachshavu shetachlit kavanati hu asiyat hamikdash achitzioni. Do not think God is saying that the goal of me telling you to build a Beit HaMikdash and I'm going to dwell in your midst, that the goal is the Beit HaMikdash. The goal is the structure. The goal is the building. That's not the goal. Ela teidu shekol tachlit ritzoni bitavni tamishkan v'kol kelav. The whole idea of the building of the temple and its vessels, rak l'rameiz lachem, the whole point is as a hint and a lesson to you. Sheshimimenu tiru, from that model you shall see. V'chein ta'asu itam, and so shall you do for yourselves. Et atzmechem, so shall you make yourselves into a mikdash. Shetiyu atem b'ma'asim aritzuyim kitavni damishkan v'kelav kulam kidoshim ru'uyim u'muchanim l'hashrot shchinati b'tochechem mamash. He says that it should be that every human being makes himself into a mikdash. That is the goal. In fact, to support him, if you look in Parsha Truma, you will see again and again where they describe the building of the Mishkan. They do it in human terms. They say the rosh of this, the head of this, or the raglei haminarah, the feet of this, or they describe it in human terms. Why? Because the idea of the mikdash, when it said that God will dwell in your midst, he means mamish, that God is supposed to dwell in every person. And the whole idea, it almost sounds, if you would say this, not be Chaim Voloshin, you would say it's heresy. The whole idea of that temple, You're supposed to look at it as a model. What you're supposed to learn from it is that just like there's a mikdash where avodas Hashem is done for the sake of God and everything is pure, that so too in my own self there's a mikdash. My head, my mind, my thoughts, and my heart, that's the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's the Holy of Holies. My avodas Hashem is supposed to be pure. There's supposed to be nothing foreign in there, nothing negative. All is focused upon God and other human beings. So that is, Rafayim Volozhin says, the purpose of the mikdash. And thereby, it's not an idea, so often say, that we have to look at ourselves, our own Chorban Beit HaMikdash. No, by emphasizing Sinat Chinam, emphasizing that, we have to look at others as a potential mikdash, as every person is a potential mikdash. So that shows us how we have to treat that mikdash. Would you treat the Beis HaMikdash if it was rebuilt in such a way that you have impure thoughts in it? You know that will violate the Korbanot. Would you treat it in such a way that you're impure toward it or not giving attention to it? No. So every person is supposed to be seen as that potential mikdash. And that's how you have to behave toward every human being. And it's by doing that that you will put a brick on the Beis HaMikdash. That will lead to its rebuilding. Not just the Mashiach coming. Not, we can build the Mikdash ourselves if we get rid of that Sinat Chinam, if we understand what the Mikdash really means, if we understand that every person has the potential to be that Mikdash. May we be Zocha to understand that case, and from this Tisha B'Av, go forward with that effort, with that inspiration, so indeed we will rebuild that Beis HaMikdash as a model for all of us to be a Mikdash. B'mheira, B'Yameinu.